Hi, everyone, and welcome. This is Seek Sustainable Japan. I'm JJ Walsh here in Hiroshima, Japan, and today we are talking about earthquake safety and old traditional Japanese houses. And today we have special guests Ayumi and Uberto. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So you guys are based in Itoshima in Fukuoka, and in your house that you're remodeling right now, isn't that right?
Yes, we are.
yeah, we did bought this older house, and you know, very traditional building, and the builder did, but we guide, let's say, the renovation in a way that was respectful of the old traditional structure, which was very hard to find a builder that with that mindset instead of just concrete everywhere.
For sure, yeah. And Ayumi, I found you because you wrote an excellent blog on Medium about the seismic retrofitting of your house. You had three different assessors come and study your house and give you advice. So we're going to go through that a little bit. But why did you end up choosing to live in an old house? What was appealing about the old house design?
He prefers living in an old house.
You know, I'm from Italy, where in Venice, there are hardly houses that is older than, newer than 200 years old. But actually, when we came, we don't like much of the modern Japanese houses. And our first thought was actually to buy some land and build some kind of log house or something. But then we got this super offer with the old house, and it was a bit of crazy.
It's very near the sea, so good location and good price.
So this is the picture of your house from your blog, and you said it's how old?
On the registry, it was built in 1955, but the builders said it looks older, so maybe 80 years old, more than 80 years old.
Wow. Yeah, probably it was an older house that they kind of renovated in 1960s, 50s, but the actual beams are so big and...
We can show...
You can see.
Oh yeah, you can see the beautiful beams above you.
Yeah, that's in this room we decided not to put a ceiling, so that you can
I love
see.
That. I love the exposed beams. But you mentioned that it hadn't been lived in for 20 years. It was built in the 1950s, wasn't lived in for 20 years. So you did have a lot of water damage. You had to replace the entire roof. That must have been a lot of work and a lot of cost, but that sometimes happens, right? Abandoned or left for 20 years, right?
Yeah, when we bought the house, the inspection said that the roof wasn't leaking that much, was just one place. And so he said that we can just fix that. But then after we bought, they said that, actually it would be better to replace everything. Also because without the older structure is putting basically this clay, this Akatsuchi, on top of the rafters. And the roof tiles are basically just... traditionally, they were just put on the Akatsuchi. And what I heard is that the reasoning is that in case of an earthquake, basically the tiles slide down. So, I mean, if the quake was stronger, so slide down and they kind of light up the roof or something like that. But of course, now nobody wanted the tiles to slide down, I mean, and have damage. So removing the Akatsuchi and putting the tiles new, make sure that it's lighter and stronger.
I see that a lot of renovated houses, they do replace the tile. Now, of course, that's a good thing for paying for craftspeople to keep in business, but they last such a long time. Is there a better quality of the new tile versus the old tile? Is there a reason to change it?
No, not really. I mean, the main reason was to remove this Akatsuchi, this very heavy, and also also put some insulation sheet.
Right. Yeah, insulation key is very key.
Heat resistant sheet, called shunted sheet.
Yeah, it's insulation.
We can see it in the picture here. You can see the insulation boards. And new wood, and then securing the tiles was probably an important point too, right?
Yeah, because new modern tiles are actually nailed, so they don't slide down. And all the tiles are just drop on top of this clay. But the tile itself, no, I mean, the tile itself will be last centuries, I mean.
Yeah, I see a lot of like traditional places, they use the old tiles as the edging of the garden or along the path or even the bottom of the house so that you don't have the water splashing. So I think we have a lot of ways to reuse the old tile. I like those ideas. Mm-hmm. So Ayumi, you were saying you had three different companies come and give you the testing of the house and give you some advice. And the first two companies recommended basically knock it down, build a new house. And the third one was like, no, traditional house is okay. I very simplified, but basically you went with the recommendation of the third company, right?
Yeah, because the first two companies recommended to have a seismic retrofitting work with modern structure. But our house was built in with the traditional structure. So the third inspector, it called Kominka Saisei Kyokai, they recommended seismic retrofitting work with the traditional structure. So, yeah.
So let's show everybody the traditional structure here. It has all the beams, and then you have, do they call them floating rocks at the bottom? Not a solid base, but rocks under the main beams, right?
Yeah, the pillars are standing on the stones.
Yeah, and then modern structure, in contrast, would have, I guess, more cross beams and a solid concrete base. That's the biggest difference, right?
Yeah, I mean, the other difference is that in the traditional structure, the pillars are very strong. I mean, they are like 20 centimeter, 30 centimeter. The joints, the horizontal joints are kind of put inside, so there is a kind of flexibility. Instead, the modern house have this relatively small, like 9 centimeter structure, and they are put in together with the screw and the metal plate, so they have absolutely zero flexibility.
Right. You shared some photos. This is one of the teams coming in and giving your house an assessment. And how did they assess for earthquake safety? What kinds of things did they test for or look for?
They put a robot under the floor to see how the foundation is. And also they checked termites. if some wooden parts are damaged or not. And also they put the
seismographer. They put the seismographer on the I think the yellow guys, the yellow jacket guys, put the seismographer on the first floor and the second floor to check how the house moves, basically.
How long did they test it for? A few days or just
a
half day.
Oh wow.
I mean, yeah.
And they can see the slight tremors and how the house is handling it. Interesting.
Yeah, they can really see and the house as it was had this the kitchen was an external annex and was that was actually ruined and hot thing. And there was a kind of a bad resonance with the main house in the vibration. And then we did the assessment after with the new house, and they said that, yeah, this resonance completely went away. And
so we have some floor plans. Is this the original floor plan?
No, it's a current.
This is the
current one. And yeah. You said one of the changes you made was to get the extra rooms or extra structures off and go back to the original structure. Is that right? And that helped?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Because the external part was built with the modern structure. And the original one is, of course, with the traditional structure. So they are unbalanced. So return to the original structure, it makes more natural.
Yeah, it was weakening the corner on the because moving in a different way basically means that every time there is even a small movement, it will weaken the.
Yeah, you guys are so smart to have different assessors, different advice from experts, because we had our first big remodel in our house and changed it like we liked it. There was one floor upstairs which was curving down, and I was like, oh, is this okay? And they're like, yeah, it's probably fine. And then the next remodelers we have in, he's like, that shouldn't be like that. There's something wrong. And he's like, where is your original layout? Where is your original floor map? And we didn't have the original one. And he went around measuring all the house and he made us a new one. And he's like, this is what it probably was. You need another support beam here. So we were so grateful because he was thinking more about the safety of the structure for earthquakes or any kind of environmental damage. And the first one was just doing the changes that we asked for. They weren't really assessing. So maybe unless you ask for that, ask for a seismic retrofit, you're not going to get that answer, right? Is that what you found?
Yeah, there are different kind of builders and many, but also many builders don't have any experience with old houses, so they just wanted to knock down or there was one. I mean, one builder was basically want to put all the concrete on the foundation, but because of these huge beams, it would be not safer to constrain them with concrete and not allow them to move. It's different, but he was just thinking, this is what we do, and it worked all the time.
That is so true. I mean, the guy who was looking at our structure and deciding what support you needed, he was an older generation. And the first team was all younger people. So I think you found a very similar situation. The way they're doing training is really only with modern buildings.
Yes.
And so the younger staff, they really aren't familiar, right?
Yeah. So our
main
builder is
he's in his 70s and
I hope he's training people to take over because we need his knowledge, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now you added these dampers in your walls as an option for seismic retrofit. Can you explain these? How do these work?
So the earthquake comes, the damper absorbs the shaking.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
No, I mean, it's connected, one panel, wood panel is connected on the roof and one to the floors. And in the between, there is this kind of oil shock absorber. And so they can move, but slowly. And in case of earthquake, basically, it will absorb the movement rather than just... block it completely, like a steel connection.
So it has more flexibility of movement, but still it's a wall, so you still have that support.
Then they get covered, and so you don't see the dump.
Oh, you don't see that? I was thinking, oh, that's kind of a cool feature.
Yeah, it can be.
But you also mentioned, like, if it's a big high rise or big new building, one of the other earthquake support things is they put kind of a flexible structure in the base so that it moves. I've been in one of those buildings during an earthquake in Tokyo, one of a big high rise building. And suddenly we all started feeling like we were seasick because the whole building was swaying. So it obviously really works, but for old houses, it would be too costly to put something underneath the foundation, right? Like that.
Yeah, that's interesting because, yes, for the big builder that have concrete pillars, basically, they have to put this shock absorber, but they... I mean, we talk with them and they don't see the point of putting for the small house and we told them, yeah, but this is old one. But this Komin Kakai, they are young people. I mean, also young people, but they are actually architects and studying old ways. That's very interesting. It's been a bit harder to find them, but...
Yeah. So one of the advice you said, add more walls, maybe add more walls like that can absorb the shock. Is that right? One of the advice?
Yeah, because the original plan was completely, shoji and fusuma. So there was only the pillars. Mm-hmm. Now, they put the more walls, which is a bit of a shame because it's still quite light.
Yeah, well, you don't have to put a full wall. You could just put a partial wall so you don't lose all of your natural light of the view, right?
Yes.
This is another floor plan. How is this one different, or is this the original?
Yeah, this is the original, and you can see on the top left the annex, the one that we took.
Yeah, extended kitchen, bathroom, toilet.
I see. So you got rid of that.
Yeah, we demolished that part and made the original form.
And then without that extra section, it became more structurally safe, structurally sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? How an extension could throw off the balance of the original structure. It's not something you think about.
Exactly. We actually, at some point, discussed to have a similar extension, but a new one. And they thought, we can do, but we don't need, I mean, we need not to connect it with the main house. I mean, it will be just a bit of, just not to let the rain in, but no structural connection between the two, so they can move with a different way. But at the end, it was too expensive.
And then this next floor plan, how is this different?
These are where the dampers, the yellow ones are the damper walls, basically.
And okay, so you had damper, all the yellow lines are the damper walls. So basically all around the center of the house, it looks like.
Yes, around the main pillars, they put this. Blue and red are just the new walls, just for the, changing the whole. But
I see.
The yellow are the dampers. Yeah.
And then you have, this is your floor. So you have floating stones, which just go under the main beams. This is one thing when I visited John Stollemeyer, who's a carpenter architect in Okayama, he showed me that a lot of the beams don't fit or don't touch the stones after a long time. They move off. So that's one of the first things you should check. Make sure your beam is on the stone. I thought that's good advice. I want to check that.
they replace the stones, let's say, with the concrete base, just to make a bit more same system, but with the concrete, so they cannot move away easily.
Yeah, and then this would be what the robot is checking, the base and the beams. Yeah, and then any other problems under the floor.
Exactly. Yeah.
We didn't have a robot. The staff who came to our house, they always crawled under. And I was like, who is under there? It's like a tiny space. Are you okay? And they're like, yeah, we do this all the time.
Yeah.
Now, you had some work done under the floor. What kind of work have they done on the foundation?
So they enlarged the each foundation. No, they didn't put whole concrete, but enlarged and
You can see here that they replaced the old stones with the concrete base, basically, under the pillars. So, yeah, just to make sure that they are exactly under the pillars.
Yeah, so I've heard some traditional architects who do the remodeling, they talk about the beauty of a traditional house is that it does move and it can almost like it's walking. So when you've got earthquakes, it's just moving. So they increase the foundation to make sure that there's more foundation for the house to move on. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. And flatten. Comparing to a stone and a bit wider, so that even if it moves, it will still stay on the stone.
Yeah, this is the thoughts about seismic isolation that I wrote on my blog. But the modern structure, they have seismic, not isolation, but resistance. So it's completely different structure.
Yeah, you talked about three methods, the seismic isolation, which is used by a lot of high rises and the hotels with the cushion underneath, for example. Seismic resistance, the aim is to allow the structure to move but not collapse. And then the seismic control to add dampers or spring systems like you have in your walls. So did you do like a combination of some of these tactics?
We had seismic isolation and seismic control structure.
Very interesting. And the $1 million question, because it probably was a million yen, how much does it cost to do earthquake resistant seismic retrofitting in Japan?
So our seismic retrofitting work costs 5 million and 55. Yeah.
5.5 million yen. And can I ask how much you got the house for?
The land with the house was 30 million. But actually, because it's a very good piece of land, and they say the same land without the house would be probably have costed more. So the house was actually something minus.
Yeah, the house is a discount. Yeah, they did the same for us. They're like, the land price is this, but we'll give you a discount for that house because it's like garbage, right? And we're like, okay, we're going to keep it, but okay, thank you, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the land is quite big, so
yeah,
more than 500 square meters.
Well, 5 million for a remodel is very reasonable. We paid 5 million for our first remodel and 5 million for the second one. So, 10 years later. So it's a very reasonable price to have the earthquake resistance as part of the remodel.
Well, I mean, 5 million was for the earthquake resistance.
Oh, okay.
The roof was
double.
Oh, double. Double. Yeah, yeah. So plus 10 million or plus 5 million?
Plus 10 million.
Plus 10. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then it was the interior. But
but still, if you think about, the same size house or the same value of house in any other country, it's really good value, right?
Yeah, I mean, altogether, it's £200,000, which in London you can buy a garage more or less.
Yeah, my son just went to study in the Netherlands and he has his one bedroom single apartment is twice as much as our house mortgage every month. You know, I mean, it's just a really much more reasonable prices and living in Japan right now. Although the weak yen is a big reason too, right? Now, Ayumi, just to show from your blog, this paragraph really stood out to me. So simply saying that old and wooden structures are weak against earthquakes makes it easy to choose newly constructed houses. However, our task as the ones left behind should be to study and explore ways to respect the wisdom of our ancestors who built historical structures using natural materials and to preserve and pass on these beautiful architectural treasures. I couldn't agree more. And yesterday I talked with the organizers of the Minka Summit. This is going to happen in April. This is the third year they've done it. They are expecting 500 people to come. So there are a lot of people interested in restoring, renovating, preserving not only the old houses, but the tradition of the house. The heritage of the builders and the artisans who are connected to the house building. So it's a really beautiful thing that you've done. I know it's hard work. You're still doing it, right? How much more do you have?
to make the interior. But I just noticed that the blog is about Alex Kerr. And when I start studying Japanese, I started as a hobby in Italy, and when I was still in Italy, and 2004, something like that. And when really starting learning hiragana and konnichiwa, that kind of stuff. And one of the first things that someone gave me the Alex Kerr book, the old one, and about to learn about Japan. And I was kind of fascinated at the time, and now 20 years later I have all the house. It's a bit of a dream.
Absolutely, he has influenced so many people, and his love of old houses and for his own house in Ia Valley in Shikoku, and then the many, many guest houses he has done projects for around Japan, keeping the old house but making it modernly relevant, right? Like making earthquake resistance, having insulation, having modern toilets, right? These are all ways that you can make it more comfortable. He's a big advocate for sure.
Yeah, no, that's. But also, toilet. We did the. I don't know if you mentioned in the blog, but the ofuho, with the wooden bath and stone floors. And at the end, it was very nice, but also cheaper than buying the bat unit from Toto or whatever.
Right? Yeah. There is an Italian craftsperson who sells beautiful Japanese wooden bats.
Yeah, we know
is that. Is that who you connected with? Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. So his Alex Kerr's guest house in Shikoku uses those baths. And he's also coming to the Minka Summit every year. So it's nice to connect. And you, that's what you have. Nice.
Yeah.
I've also met a few Italian plasterers who do beautiful plastering in Japan and very popular. Many different kinds of natural plaster, like Ayumi, you said you're doing some shikui, traditional plaster, but the Italian plastering with a little bit variation of color, a little bit different style, is always also very popular in our area, around traditional areas like Takehara, old buildings, and Italian plaster is kind of a nice combination. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, we were looking for something like that. Yeah, but at the end, we did ourselves. But yeah, okay, Italian plaster. Yeah, it's not something that in Italy you do yourself.
Yeah, you leave it to the professionals, which is good advice too, right?
Yeah.
Now this is another picture. Is this from the downstairs?
Yep.
Yeah, this is the main traditional home, yes.
So you have so much of the original design that you're keeping. I love those windows, that really retro, simple wave design. Isn't that gorgeous?
Yeah, and you can see here that the shikui needed renovation.
Yeah. Did you add modern windows, like more insulated windows?
No, we couldn't afford.
it's expensive, right? Maybe that's your next renovation, if once you save some money, right?
Yeah, this
I love the big windows, the natural light.
Yeah, the engava is very hard. I mean, we use insulated windows for the second floors, for the normal windows. But it's very difficult to make a engava with the modern windows, but still light, and because the frame are not strong enough to put a stronger window, so you need to replace everything. But yeah, you lose also the decoration, so it's
another option. I've done a couple times when we have the beautiful old window. I really like the old glass. It doesn't fit perfectly in the frame, but it looks really nice. But in terms of the wind is just coming in winter. So we did the drop-in window. So you do another window in front of it. So it's like a double layer, the original window and then a drop-in. And that was much cheaper. And then you keep the original look. It's another option, right?
Yeah. We were actually thinking something like that.
Yeah.
But it's, as you know, it's difficult to find people that can do this kind of job, because they're just thinking, okay, let's remove everything and put...
That's true. Lixil, one of the big companies in Japan, they offer that service. So it if you find a Lixil company near you, usually they'll do that. It's pretty standard, I think. One of those quick fixes we're all looking for. Real Rural Japan has joined us from YouTube. He says, it is just to save concrete and not having to pour a slab. Maybe that's the talking about the foundation work underneath. Usually that's why a stone, not a slab, it's more easy to put a stone than to pour concrete, probably, right?
Yeah, that's... I mean, but the point was not to save concrete, to be honest. But it was also because it's quite, I mean, the normal concrete is like 40, 50 centimeter high. This was just, the slab.
I see. Yeah, it's always good to, that's what he says works well, in his case. There's so many great people doing remodeling of old houses around Japan. We can all share our ideas and insights. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. Now, Ayumi, you also wrote another blog about how you think in Japan, people are pretty calm at earthquakes. Uberto, you were saying, wow, Japanese people are pretty calm when it comes to earthquake. And Ayumi, you said, well, we have so much training, right? We study it at school. Is that right?
Yeah, in primary school, we had this training at least once a year. I don't know now, but when I was a kid, yes, we had this training. And the alarm came and we should under the desks. And then we make a queue to evacuate from the classroom and go to the playground. And such a kind of training we did.
Yeah.
But I myself never experienced a big earthquake. So I don't know how I should act at the moment. But yeah, this kind of training we need to do.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, in earthquake prone Japan, it makes a lot of sense to start habitually training people to be ready. And then when it happens, everybody knows what to do. I taught in education for 21 years at high schools and universities, and every school I ever worked at, they always, every year, they would have a training day. Everybody would talk about what you should do if it happens, and then ready for the training day. And then everybody would be congratulating all the students for doing it so quickly and so efficiently. You know, like, so it was a great experience seeing how organized and so ready and prepared. Because it makes sense, right? Also, Ayumi, you were talking about keeping emergency supplies in your bedroom. Can you talk about this a little bit? What do you keep?
So, as you can see on the picture, I put two helmets, foldable helmets, and a paper tray, and chopsticks, and this square ones, they are seats for keeping us warm. It's made from aluminium, I think. And gloves, wet tissue, and garbage bin bags, and also medicines that you need. Yeah, kind of things I put in backpack.
Yeah, and we often we have water bottles in a certain area, and we refill or do them again, so you have kind of more fresh water at least once a year. We have a variety of water bottles that we keep. You also have this advice to steady tall furniture. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
to stop.
Yeah,
because a lot of people do get injured from furniture falling on them, right? Every exactly. year. Yeah, good advice. In the chat, Real Rural Japan said, yeah, Lixil windows. That's what he did. That worked well. So that's a nice another option. Emergency preparedness, any other advice or about retrofitting your house? Any other advice that you would give people thinking about doing it? How did you find people to do the testing for you? Was it hard? Did you just contact like a construction company and ask?
We found.
Yeah, I mean, we had basically a main contractor, and then we discussed what we wanted, and first he basically introduced us this other for the foundation work, and we said. Thank you, but now we wanted to make it differently. So then he found someone else. And then at the end, we found that this Kominka Kai Association that try to preserve things. And our main contractor was actually quite impressed, and he also joined the Kominkakai. So he also part, because it's, yeah, it's a kind of consortium of builders and architects.
So if anybody listening doesn't know, Kominka or Minka, these mean old traditional houses. Kominkakai would be a group association of builders who are familiar with working with traditional houses, right?
Yeah, I think they cover all Japan. For sure, there is also Tokyo and Fukuoka.
Yeah. Now, Ayumi, you mentioned when the assessors were looking at your house, one of them said, looking at the photos of the 2016 Kumamoto earthquake, there were so many collapsed traditional buildings. That's why you need to rebuild with a new house. But then you did research and you found from the 1995 Great Hanshin Awaji earthquake, most of the damage was deemed from termite damage, decay, and not really because of the design, right? In your research, is that right?
Yeah, as long as I researched, yeah, that also caused a lot. And also, not the earthquake, as you know, it happened on the New Year's Day this year. More than 60,000 houses collapsed or severely damaged. But the government is now investigating what kind of houses are damaged. And they said lots of wooden houses seems collapsed, but we have to think about this termite damage, decay, and also extended parts influenced on the original structure. So that kind of things we have to consider about.
Yeah, and where you're living now, you also said there was another big earthquake in Fukuoka in 2005, right?
Yeah, so this house also experienced this earthquake happened in 2005. It was with the magnitude of 7.0. And the epicenter was 15 kilometers away from our house. But this house was standing. In our area, some houses are damaged, were damaged, and they had to demolish or renovate it. So if we consider about that, we cannot say that old houses are weak against earthquake.
Yeah, but that was very common. And after every big disaster, if there's a lot of traditional houses which are damaged, people say, oh no, old houses, they're weak for earthquakes. But for Noto, for example, that just happens to be most of the houses are old houses. So no matter what house was there, we're going to see a lot of damage, right? But the perception was, oh no, old houses are more dangerous. I think that was a quick reaction by a lot of the media, right?
Yeah. Also, as Ayumi said, badly make maintenance or stuff like that awaken the old houses. Plus also it's different from townhouses versus rural houses that are much stronger. And but of course it's also business, you know, it's always make more business to bring it down and
yeah. But in terms of sustainability as well, what a waste of resource to bring down such a good, valuable, useful structure and then import the wood and do it again. You know, like it doesn't make sense. A lot of the, I read some articles about old houses after every earthquake, and a lot, like you found for the Great Hanshin Awaji earthquake research, a lot of people said it was because the owners chose not to renovate or retrofit for earthquake resistance because it was too expensive. So maybe that's something that incentives from the government to give some support to retrofit, to have more seismic support or earthquake resistance. Maybe those kinds of benefits from the government, if you do that renovation, that would encourage people to do it more, right?
We could also apply for the fund from Fukuoka City to do this seismic retrofitting work. And they are giving 2 million yen. Yeah. But our condition that didn't suit for the application, so we couldn't get. But we also applied for the fund of vacant houses, and we received 1 million yen from Fukuoka City.
Oh, good.
So people can use this opportunity.
Nice. So there is some funding local governments are supporting for people who are renovating old houses in your area. That's good. So always research what kind of support might be in your area or incentives, right?
Yeah, just that the rules for getting these funds are really, really complicated, a lot of conditions. And our builder didn't fill up completely the paperwork or something like that. So it's better to probably to ask a professional that there are some people specialized in how to get the response, basically, and to check this stuff before, because, yeah.
The paperwork hurdle, such a big hurdle, right? So much paperwork needs to be done and so many forms to do it properly. Right? Ayumi, you talk about overuse of paperwork in Japan in one of your blogs as well.
Everywhere. They love papers.
Paperwork and stamps. You know, nothing's quite digital quite yet, right?
Very old fashioned.
Yeah. There is, Ayumi, you also mentioned in your blog, all new buildings since 1981 have to be built to be resistant to earthquakes level 6 or higher. But I haven't read anything about like any standards for renovating old houses. Do you know of any? Like, are builders supposed to, when they remodel old houses, are they supposed to try to keep to the 1981 standards for new houses, or there's no rule yet that you know of?
I mean, there's no other rules. I mean, you can renovate as you want, but we got the certificate, correct?
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we got the certificate. Well, we're still waiting, but I mean, we get the how resistant is our house now. They came to do the assessment. And so the is a level, it's up to the current standard, something like that, correct?
So in 1950, the Building Standard Act was enforced, and after the great Hanshin earthquake happened in 1995, the Building Standard Act was more enforced. So since then, the houses, new houses, must be earthquake resistant. But sorry, I'm not a professional. So I don't know where about.
You're a very good researcher, and you found lots of great information, very useful for other people. I appreciate your blog quite a lot. Yeah, thank you. We had some good comments. Federico Bartoli says, must be kept in mind that traditional Japanese houses were made with quality wood compared to new types of houses made with much cheaper materials. That's another reason to preserve these old great materials, right? Yeah. And then Real Rural Japan saying he's gotten rid of materials, and most of his experience, it is reused, it is recycled in some way. So that's good to hear. Yeah. I think Alex Kerr and me have both seen quite a lot of old houses just completely knocked down, destroyed, and it just breaks your heart, right? all those beautiful materials not being reused, just put in the trash.
Yeah, no, they just got
garbage,
to the
right?
Apart from windows or stuff like that, I mean, they, and we also have some beans, I mean, you know, some leftover, but yeah, we are thinking a way to reuse, you know, maybe as a garden decoration or stuff like that, because some of them have termites, so we cannot put in the house, but yes. And but yeah, a lot of, I mean, this house has very good wood, and also, and another tragedy in Japan is that they don't have anymore the old, I mean, traditionally in Japan there was all this kind of oak. Like, instead of now, basically every lumber is just sugi or enoki, because it's make more money from a business point of view. And it's very hard to get kaya or what is called kashi, or the traditional wood that were used to make houses.
Yeah. And like when I visited John's house that he's renovating, he showed me these amazing beams, which are curvy.
Yeah.
And you cannot get these anymore. Nobody is doing the hand hewing of the beams. It's all machine done. So that's why the trees are grown so straight. You don't have the beautiful characteristics that old houses have. Very unique, right? And these
yeah.
will last for hundreds of years.
Mm. And also, sorry, in the, for example, in Fukuoka area, sugi are not native of this area. I mean, in Kyushu, most of the wood original was with broadleaf, not sugi or enoki. And now that almost everything is just sugi enoki, there's also a lot of allergy, and they are not good to retain water. So.
Yeah.
But there's still not much awareness of this in Japan.
Yeah. So whenever we do a remodel project and we're using wood, I say, please use domestic wood, because we need to have the demand of the domestic wood. Our bathroom was done with all sugi and it smells beautiful, you know? And so you're helping to make the forest healthier. You're giving the loggers some income to have the domestic demand, which also helps. There's a logger, a traditional logger, who's talking at the Minka Summit this year. He's been running a sawmill in Hanase Village for 40 years, and he's going to talk about all the different kinds of wood that usually are used to make an old traditional house. So that should be really interesting. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. I think we talked about all of your insights about doing seismic retrofitting. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
So in my opinion, why people don't buy vacant houses in Japan is, as you know, Japanese people are working hard and they don't have enough time. Because if we renovate the old houses, we have to meet regularly the builders to discuss and decide about the houses. So it's easy to buy built for sale houses in Japan because it's already there and the kitchen is there attached and everything is ready. But yeah, as we talked, beautiful materials are used for the old houses, and we really have to use it. Yeah. Now 8.5 million houses are vacant in Japan and they are not used. That's a big problem. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. But also when we talk with our friends or, you know, acquaintances, and you discuss the price of, at the end of the day, we all consider we pay this house more or less roughly the same amount of building a new one. But you know, we have like a 200 square meter old house made it with the modern standard, which in my opinion is worth 10 times the current square brand new Japanese house. But many people say it's like, oh, but with all that money you could have bought a new house. And we say, yeah, but this is definitely not what we wanted. But it's still, on the other side, other many Japanese really say, wow, we didn't even know that it's possible to renovate an old house like this. They tend to see old house like, you know, super cold, drafty.
Yeah, the typical complaint is dark, dirty, cold, right? But you can make it look so beautiful and so valuable and so unique, right? Who wants a cookie cutter house that looks the same as your neighbor, right? You want beams that you can date back 100 years and you can see the name of the builder. That's much more valuable, right?
And even the new houses, if it's a reasonable price, they are not insulated well. So our friend was living in a new house. They had a cold days inside the house if it's not insulated. Yeah. So we have to really think about what the priority of buying houses.
Yeah, and this is a growing trend, not just in Japan, around the world. How to insulate using natural materials like straw bale, for example. Yeah. I had Australian guests recently and they saw our house and they're like, oh, you can add some thinner straw bale. You have straw in Japan because you have rice, you know? And I'm like, nobody is doing this here. Let's talk about it, you know? So we have so much knowledge, not only from Japan, but around the world that we can apply to natural living, traditional houses, renovation, right? We don't have to stick to traditional rules necessarily. We can take new technology as well. It's whole new world, right? Well, thank you both so much. That was a wonderful discussion. And I hope the people listening, you got some ideas about how you can make your traditional house safer and more earthquake resistance. Ayumi and Uberto, thank you so much for joining and sharing your ideas.
Thank you, Taya.
Thank you very much for having us.
And hope to come and visit you sometime. I love Fukuoka. It's a great place.
Please. You're welcome. And we are also going to attend the Minka Summit.
Yay! Fantastic! So I will see you there. Fantastic. Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you everybody for joining. Thanks for all the great questions today and comments. And if you're watching on replay, you can always add your questions and comments below and we will try to respond as best we can. And please like and subscribe always. Thanks everyone. Have a great day.
Thank
you. Bye-bye. Way out, he'll shout goodbye up to my